Hello and welcome to this week's message from Valley Church. Catch up on more messages and hear the latest from Valley Church online at valleychurch.eu/messages or download them from iTunes. For more information about what's going on in the life of our church, visit valleychurch.eu. Enjoy the message.
So I came 28 years ago. Gosh, how time absolutely flies, doesn't it? And 31 years ago, I think, was the Hillsborough disaster, and we came in response to that. And I remember our first trip over here to Spy at the Lamb was Christmas in 1990, and it was a snowy Christmas time. We arrived at Heathrow Airport, and we came off the plane and not really knowing our bearings, and through a friend of a friend, someone was going to pick us up and take us to their church so I could do a little mini preaching tour. And so when we arrived at Heathrow, there was no one there to pick us up. And it was like 6 a.m. in the morning. And so, you know, we hung around for an hour, and then we thought, well, let's give the guy a ring. And we rang the number, pre-mobile phones, and no one picked up. So it's just two Aussies hanging around Heathrow Airport. And I thought, well, at least we could pray. And so just beside the phones, my wife and I, and she was maybe 2 months pregnant at the time, that we said, God, you're going to have to help us, because we know nobody. We're 10,000 miles away from home, and we're looking for some miracle here. And then a guy tapped us on the shoulders, and it was a complete stranger. And he said, are you guys in trouble? And we said, well, just a little bit. The person who was meant to pick us up hasn't picked us up. And he said, where do you want to go to? We had no clue because we had no address. And he said, well, why don't you go to a B&B? And I'd never heard of a B&B before in my life. And I said, where's the nearest B&B? He said, well, Beaconsfield is a great town. It's near here. And he said, I'll take you there. And they say in the book of life, don't accept a lift from a stranger if you want to live a long time. But we kind of, after I looked at him down, thinking, well, just run with it, roll with it. And he took us into the car park at Heathrow, and we went to his Jaguar car. And he popped open the boot, put our stuff in the boot. Then he drove us all the way to Beaconsfield. And I said, well, what on earth is happening here? He said, he's a chauffeur. And he was waiting for the chauffeur to a very rich businessman who had turned up early at Heathrow and caught a cab back to his business. And he said, I was sitting there beside the phones, just killing time. And he said, I noticed you're in trouble. And so now I'm chauffeuring you to Beaconsfield. Well, can I say, if that's not a stitch up from heaven, I don't know what is. If that's not God setting up a chauffeur service for Dave and Jenny Gilpin, I don't know what is. If that's not God holding back the person who was meant to pick us up in order to stitch up a miracle, I don't know what is. We were the right people in the right place at the right time, but it kind of looked like we're in the wrong time at the wrong place. And in your life right now, there's stuff going on in your life that God is holding back. You think, why has this not worked out? Why isn't that work? Because God's holding it back, because God is stitching you up for a miracle. God's about to do something incredible. But you're going to have faith that you're the right person in the right place at the right time. Stop backing out of the call of God. Believe that right now the Spirit of God's on you. Now, I'm going to read a lot of this message and come back and just talk to you face-to-face in a few seconds' time, but hopefully you'll find this interesting. If we travel back in time to Florence, Italy, in 1466, and look through the window of an art studio, you'll see a 14-year-old Leonardo da Vinci nervously ready and waiting on the first day of his apprenticeship. And little did he know that he would become an utter legend throughout the history of civilization. If we move forward to Alabama in 1955 on December the 1st and look through the window of a bus, you'd be fixated on a black woman called Rosa, arguing with a bus driver and refusing to give up her seat for a white passenger. And it became so confrontational, the name Rosa Parks has become famous as the first lady of civil rights. Who knew? You know, it looked like she might have been the right person on the wrong bus. But she was the right person on the right bus at the right time. But it all looked wrong, but it was absolutely right. If we go forward 30 years and make a voyage across the Atlantic and across the Golden Gate Bridge in North San Francisco in 1986, we'd find Steve Jobs just sacked from head of Apple Corporation, sitting opposite George Lucas, creator of the Star Wars franchise, signing a deal to buy the computer graphics division of Lucasfilm for $10 million. Who knew that at the point of his sacking would be the point of his utter elevation? Who knew that? And he renamed that computer division to Pixar. And 9 years later, created Toy Story. And 11 years after that, Pixar was bought by Disney for $7.4 billion. How did that come about? He got sacked. But he had a belief. He was the right man in the right place at the right time. Stop doubting yourself. You've been called by God for such a time as this. The Esther spirit is on you. I know you're excited underneath. Spirit of Esther's here. The calling of God's here. It's your greatest asset. It's not your talent. It's your belief that God's called you for such a time as this. Take the TARDIS to 2019, to whatever the date is today in Valley Church. Got a room full of Da Vinci's, a room full of Mother Teresa's, a room full of Rosa's, a room full of Branson's, Wilberforce's, Wesley's, City Shapers, Nation Changers, the Spirit of Esther, called to the kingdom. Sons of God, led by the Spirit of God, born for this generation, perfectly placed, perfectly timed, perfectly imperfect, perfectly rising. Am I preaching brilliantly or is this just awesome? We sit in a crucible of providence, a seat of destiny on the bus of purpose. We're not giving it up for anything. Whatever those voices are saying, we're not changing seats. This is our seat on the bus of purpose. This is our destiny. This is our life. This is what we're born for. There's no substitutes. There's nobody like us. This is a setup. It's a stitch up. The biggest stitch-up verse in all of the Bible, in the entirety of the Bible, is Ruth, chapter 2, verse number 3. Some of you know what I'm about to say. But you know, Ruth, her hubby died. And she was left a widow. She's thinking, what am I going to do? She could go back to her homeland, or she could be faithful to her mother-in-law. She chose Naomi, to follow her back to her Hebrew homeland. She's in abject poverty. She's lost her husband. One day she gets up and she starts to go through, after the harvesters have been around, she starts to pick up the loose grain like a beggar. She tucks the loose grain just into her clothing. The Bible says this about that single incident. In Ruth chapter 2, verse number 3, it says, as it turned out, she found herself working begging in a field belonging to Boaz. Well, who on earth is Boaz? It's just her future husband, just finds herself working on the paddock of a future husband. Well, yeah, but what's the big deal about her? Well, he's very rich. Yeah, but what else is the big deal? Well, she became the great-grandmother of David. Well, who's David? Well, Jesus came from the kingship of David. Who's David, the one that God struck the most remarkable covenant through? Who's Ruth? Pauper. It just so happened, the Bible says, that she was gleaning in the field of Boaz. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. I mean, if that's not understated poetry, I don't know what is. It just so happened. No, it didn't just so happen, Mr. Bible. This is a stitch up. From the beginning of time, God stitched this up. Same in your life. It just so happened you're here on a Sunday morning, press. No, 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 no. No, let's not understate this too much. This is called design. This is called a fabric that God's weaving for your destiny to be fulfilled and for the destiny of the world to come to pass. You're far more significant than you could ever realize. In 2005, Steve Jobs gave an open-air address at Stanford University. This is what he said. Your time is limited. So don't waste it living somebody else's life. Don't be trapped by the dogma of living the results of somebody else's thinking. He said, but don't let the noise of other people's opinions drown out your inner voice. But most important, have the courage to follow your heart and intuition. They somehow already know what you truly want to become. I'm loving that. He says, everything else is secondary. There's a conviction in your spirit. Unity isn't when the churches come together. It's when you come together. When you line your conduct up with the commitments of your thinking, with the confession of your mouth, with the conviction of your heart, we've got unity. And wherever there's unity, God commands a blessing. You're too divided. You confess what you're not committed to. You're committed to what you don't actually believe. Line it all up. Find out what God can do through somebody fully aligned to the conviction of their heart. Let me back it up and say from the 13th century until now, each has had around 2.5 million ancestors. Each of them avoided the plague, avoided death by plague, death by war, death by famine, death by accident. God kept them all alive because he destined you to become all that he wanted you to be. I mean, what's the probability? Not one of them died before child-rearing age. In the entire history of your family line, out of 2.5 million people from the 1200s to now that are direct descendants of yours, not one of them died early. Why would God let that happen? Because he's got a destiny for you. He's worked hard to bring you here today, to not just make you existent, but to make you purposeful. Don't let anyone rob you of your sense of right person, right place, right time, right destiny, right call. No one else in all of creation can do and be what God's called me to do and be. I want to say two things. Firstly, it's not too late, it's not too early to achieve great things.
You're not past your sell-by date, otherwise you'd be, let me think, dead. At 13 years of age, Michelangelo started his apprenticeship in sculpturing and went on to get a knighthood from the Pope. At 17 years of age, Henry VIII became king, 17. At 18, Tutankhamun died, having ruled Egypt for 9 years. At 20, Bob Dylan released his first album. Just stuck that in for the over 60s. At 27, Walt Disney invented Mickey Mouse. 28, Colonel Gaddafi took the control of Libya. At 34 years of age, Florence Nightingale started what is the modern nursing profession. At 36 years of age, Mozart died. At 39, Neil Armstrong walked on the moon. At 43, JFK became president. At 62, Walt Disney produced Mary Poppins. At 76, Winston Churchill became prime minister for the second time. Well, what's your excuse? Your excuse is because you doubt that you're the right person in the right place at the right time. And if I was Satan, I would work at eroding your conviction. 70% of every quiet time you have, it's reinforcing that conviction. Because everything comes out of the conviction of not just whose you are, but who you are. You haven't missed it. You haven't blown it. You haven't disqualified yourself from it. There's a seed of destiny for you. It might not be important, but it will be significant. You may not be a general in an army, simply a foot soldier, yet both are equally valued to the king who called them both into service. And secondly, I want to stay in this one to the end. And it's Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse number 11, and it says this. It says, the race isn't for the swift or the battle to the strong, nor does food come to the wise or wealth to the brilliant or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. I'll reinterpret. It's not talent or intelligence or wisdom that sets you apart. It's taking the opportunities. It's owning your moment. It's owning your seat. That's what makes a difference. This world is not talent-based. The kingdom of God's not talent-based. It's not intelligence-based. It's opportunity-based. The race isn't to the swift. Food isn't for the wise. It's not as you think it is. Time and chance, opportunities come to every person. It's those who take the opportunity while it knocks. That's what makes a difference to the universal world and to the Christian world. Taking your opportunity while it knocks. Taking time and chance with both hands and maximizing every chance you get. Chances come to everybody, but most people can't see through the tears of their own inferiority. There's a really successful British book called Bounce, written by Matthew Syed. He's got a famous podcast now with a famous cricket player and somebody else. And he was 3 times Commonwealth Games table tennis champion. And he started to write his book on why he did so well in table tennis. And this is his original start to the book, was that he came from an ordinary town. No silver spoon, no nepotism, no special treatment, just sheer talent. And sheer guts, he triumphed against the odds. And that's how you think people make it. You think people make it through sheer talent and through sheer guts, and therefore it rules you out because you're not as talented as the most talented of people. But then he was honest to himself and he realized He was a custodian of unusual circumstances. And he listed five. He said, no, the first bit's lies. It's not through talent. It's not because of guts. This is what it is. He said, number one, when I was eight, his parents bought him a full-size tournament table tennis table. Why, he did not know. Well, that's a good start. I mean, who gets a full-size table tennis table at 8 years of age? That's a positive addition. And number two, his parents had a house whose garage could fit a full-size tournament table tennis table. I mean, there's only three in the whole country. And if you have got a garage, your car's not in it, is it? Because it won't fit, will it? Because of all the other junk you've got in your garage. Number three, he had an older brother, not too much older, who spent hours dueling and battling table tennis. If his brother was 6 years older, he'd want nothing to do with his junior brother. But because he's just 2 years older, that's a fair deal. Makes for good brotherhood, that. Makes for good improvement at table tennis, having someone a little bit older but not too much older. He said, number four, he said, the sports teacher at his primary school, Mr. Charters, was the nation's top coach in table tennis. Well, okay. Okay. All right. But he was banging on about talent and guts. Well, hang on a second. Sounds like he's a custodian here. And number five, there was a table tennis club open near his house that was open 24 hours a day. But they lived at 119 Silverdale Road. Matt's brother went on to win three national junior titles. At 274 Silverdale Road, Karen Witt won Commonwealth Gold. At 149 Silverdale Road, Andy Wellman was a hugely successful doubles player. At the bottom of Silverdale Road, Paul Trott was the leading junior. Around the corner from Silverdale Road, Jimmy Stokes was English junior champion. Alison Gordon was four times English senior champion. Sue Collier was English schools champion. There's more sporting champions in Silverdale Road than in any other road in the entire country. Why? Because it was a custodian of a unique set of unusual circumstances. You live on Silverdale, right? You don't think you are. You think you live on any road. No, you don't live on any road. You live on Silverdale Road. Your problem is you're staring at a football pitch. No, there's a table tennis table here. Yeah, but table tennis is not a major. No. No, that's your call. Some of you are staring at rock bands and staring at businesses and staring at companies and staring at models and say, no. Table tennis. Table tennis. Yeah, I don't like. No. You're going to love it. Yeah, like, I don't know anyone. No. This is you. This is you. Champion, your future champion table tennis. Yeah, it's not one of the big sports. Listen, stop being worldly. Yeah, but it's not hugely important. No. It's not football. No. Stop that. That's sheer worldliness. That's what's catching you out, is sheer worldliness. You live on Silverdale Road. You are a custodian of an unusual set of divine circumstances. Your age, your background, your ability, your disability, your advantages, your disadvantages have all placed you on Silverdale Road. It's a road of opportunity. Stop looking at the football field and look at the table tennis table that's staring at you. The field of Boaz is under your feet. It's not 3 miles away. You live on the field of Boaz. Well, what about the poverty? No, that's what got you there. All things are working together for good. What about my disability? That's what got you there. What about my history? That's what got you there. Stop looking at what you haven't got and start looking at what you have got. I've got to say, this is the answer for you. Is Keith Ring coming back up? I thought he was. We moved a number of years ago. We moved from like a council house to, no, it wasn't council house. That was before, but we moved to a la-di-da house. And I thought this house, I can't just stick my IKEA pictures in this house. So I thought I think oils would suit this house. And then I don't know if you've seen the price of oil paintings. I mean, it's sky high. So I thought, I'll do it. I've never painted in my life. So I went down to the works. You know the works? At the back of the works, there's just art supplies. I mean, So I bought pre-stretched canvas, you know, bought some oils, took them home. The thing I forgot, because I'm not really a painter, was I forgot a brush. So I thought, I don't really need a brush, just use a knife. A kitchen knife. So I got my cadmium red out. Just wiped it across the canvas. My wife came down and she says, stop, Dave. She says, stop. She says, stop. She says, from now on, I'm going to call you Michelangelo. Like, don't touch it. I'd only spent 15 seconds on it. So I hung it out to dry. I went back to the works. In 1 week, I painted 40 pictures. 40. 40. We haven't got 40 walls. So I took them down. We had a conferencing center, a church conferencing center like this. And I took them down and started to tap in the nails because I'm going to sell these things. And all my staff were laughing at me. They're thinking a six-year-old could have done this. They were laughing till I started to make the money. I did one that was just, listen, simply, it was just a drop and a drip. I called it the legacy. Took me longer to put my name on it to do the painting. Sold them together for £400. Now, before you change your impression of me thinking just like ripping people off, I was selling confidence. I can't do it now. I'm going to paint to the edge of the canvas. I had an unusual sense of confidence then. But in essence, I can't paint. Well, how did you do that, Dave? Took an opportunity. Oh my goodness me. The race isn't to the swift. It's not to the good looking. It's not to the wise or the highly intelligent. The race is for those who take opportunity. Time and chance happen to us all. When Steve Jobs was sacked from Apple in 1985, he said it was the best thing that ever happened to him. He wrote, the heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner again. He said, it freed me to enter into the most creative period of my entire life. And you know, he went on to create the greatest animation studio the world has ever seen. His first creation was Toy Story and then A Bug's Life. Monsters, Inc., Finding Nemo, can I hear an amen? The Incredibles. Cars is my famous favorite. Up. Okay, it's warming up here. Toy Story 2 and Toy Story 3. Toy Story 4. It's all right. It's just about a piece of trash that thinks it's a toy. He went from a company worth $10 million to a company worth $7.4 billion. I got to stop. Here's the story. Pretend I'm tucking into bed. Lean a little forward or lean backwards, but don't stay the same. Once upon a time, there was a stonecutter. Every day, he traveled to work and back again. Let me say this about the story, right? You'll think it's going to go on for a long time, but it suddenly pulls up, okay? So when you do think, well, how long is this story going to go for, right? That's the moment. It only goes for another 10 seconds. Just to let you know, right? He was very happy, the stonecutter. One evening on his way home, he passed the richest man's house in the village and looked in the window. Peering through the window, he could see beautiful chandeliers and soft couches. Oh, I wish I was the richest man in the village, sighed the stonecutter. And an angel came and said, so be the richest. And he was. And he lived in the finest situation, ate the most expensive foods and slept on the sweetest mattresses you could find. He was very happy. Then one day, a prince passed by in a golden carriage with a canopy over his head, drawn by four beautiful white horses. Oh, I wish I was the prince, sighed the stonecutter. And an angel came and said, so be the prince. And he was, and he rode around in the carriage and lived the finest of lives, and he was very happy. Then one day he looked up and felt the sun's rays beating on his head and said, the sun is more powerful than I wish I was the sun. And an angel came and said, so be the sun. And he was, and he beamed down upon the world, and he was very powerful and very happy. Then one day he looked down and he saw a cloud blocking his rays from the earth and said, that cloud is more powerful than me. I wish I was the cloud. And the angel came and said, so be the cloud. And he was, and he blocked the sun's rays and shadows over the earth. He was powerful, strong, and very, very happy. Then one day a strong wind came and blew the cloud away. That wind, he cried, is more powerful than me. I wish I was the wind. And an angel came and said, so be the wind. And he was the wind, and he blew across the earth, and everything was shaken by his power, everything except for a cliff. It stood strong and resolute in the face of the wind. That cliff is more powerful than I, he said. I wish I were the cliff. An angel came and said, so be the cliff. And he was the cliff, and he was very strong and very powerful, very happy. Then one day, as the cliff, he felt a tickling in his feet. A stone cutter was slowly but surely chipping him away. You're doing yourself a great disservice trying to be somebody else. You're doing yourself a great disservice over-admiring overachievers in the world today. Some of you just need to draw a circle around yourself and pray for brilliance inside the circle so that you can achieve your God-given destiny. If I had a prayer that I'd pray for you, this is the prayer I'd pray. And this is what I'd get you to say. I am a stone cutter. I cut stones. I shape diamonds. There's no one like me. There's never been anyone like me in the history of mankind. I'm a custodian. I'm a carrier. I'm called to this time, this place, for this people. I choose to love my hills and not disown them. I choose to love my history and not disown it. I choose to take every opportunity given to me by God because it's my appointment. I'm the right person, the right place, and the right time to step out into the right future that you rightfully placed before the beginning of time. I love my life. I love my life. I love my future, and I love my God. Amen. Amen. And amen. If you want to crush depression, crush anxiety, crush inferiority, crush rejection, that's the prayer. I love my life. Everything's working together for good. Got another prayer we'll pray right now. It's a similar prayer, but I'll stay calm while praying it. Close your eyes and say this after me. I am the right person. My journey is the right journey. I embrace my poverty and my brokenness. My failures have humbled me, and my humility is now positioning me. My awkwardness is my authenticity, and my authenticity with God's authority is my doorway to my Silverdale Road.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. Why not follow us on Twitter at @valley_church or come visit us at one of our locations on a Sunday. To find out more, visit valleychurch.eu. Have a great week.